Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning.
Why do we love Gollum so much? This is the question that has been bouncing around in my brain for the last week as I've been prepping to jump into this episode to actually talk about Riddles in the Dark and our first interactions with Gollum. And it's an interesting question, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this in the intro, but it's just something that I ponder. Why do we like him? It's not like he's a good guy. It's not like he's nice or brave, or he just doesn't have any of those qualities. I think the answer might lie in the fact that he's so interesting, that he's so unique, even in The Lord of the Rings, let alone in anything else. There aren't very many characters like Gollum. We end up with all these archetypes, certain types of heroic characters or tragic characters or villains or dark heroes, these anti-heroes, and, you know, like Wolverine or things like that. There are typical archetypes, right? Like, most characters fall into some classification that makes them very similar to another character that you could find either in the similar works by that same artist, same author, or somebody else. But Gollum is a little different. He's very unique. He's a monster, but he's not a monster. He's a person. He used to be more of a person, but now he's less of a person. He's riddled with all of these dark, terrible thoughts because he's been corrupted, but yet there's still a certain amount of his humanity that's just kind of underneath it all. He lives alone in the dark and has evolved for that setting, and yet is driven to leave that place later on. He's got kind of this split personality thing going on, but he's not really a Jekyll and Hyde type of character. He's very much his own thing. He's not powerful or strong, and yet he is knowledgeable about things that are very important to the story and is dangerous at times. And he speaks in a very interesting and kind of odd way. He is truly unique. And I think that might be part of why we like him so much. And on top of all of that, he tells riddles. And I think that might be one of the most surprising things of all. We meet this character who is extremely scary for Bilbo at a moment where Bilbo is so vulnerable. And then we get a very human moment, the playing of a game, a wager, the telling of riddles in the dark. So this is the moment where we get to learn about Gollum. And the first thing we find out is that he had a little boat. And there's something so quaint about this idea that he has this little boat, which he must have made for himself or dragged somehow all the way down into this cave. It's not like there are trees growing underground. Somehow he makes for himself a little boat. Then he rows around quietly in this deep, deadly cold lake. And I love that this is noted as deadly cold. And I would have to think that that deadly cold is kind of a nod to the fact that Gollum himself is deadly, but there's something extremely sinister and dark about this specific location beyond just how cold the water feels. And he paddles around, not making a single ripple. And we get this little tiny sentence in here where it says, "But never a ripple did he make." And then it says, "Not he." Interesting. Not he. As if to differentiate himself from anyone else you would ever have known on the surface of the water in a little boat. And then we find out more about him. He has lamp-like eyes for blind fish, and they're pale. And this image of lamp-like eyes, as if there's this sinister pale glow that comes directly out of them, is interesting. Also, there's a contrast here. The fish are clearly blind because they've evolved to live underneath the mountain in this dark, dark lake. So they don't really need eyes because there's no light. But Gollum has come from a different place. He's somebody whose eyes have gotten bigger and more lamplight in order to deal with the darkness. And he's got these long, spindly kind of fingers grabbing at the fish. And then we learn more about his diet. He liked goblin also when he could get it. But of course, they were careful to go down here. And we get this little bit of history about how the great goblin would sometimes send his goblins down there when he wanted some fish. But oftentimes they didn't make it back. Now, this sets the standard here for our expectations of Gollum. He is drawn in this image in our mind as some sort of monster, maybe a creature that is scarier than the goblins, is stronger or more subtle, more crafty than the goblins, and even eats the goblins. But we quickly find out that he's not just some monster. He's not some sort of animal that's scary and mean or hungry. He's something more than that. And it's something that comes up in, again, the kinds of things that Tolkien was drawing from. These myths, old stories like Beowulf, Grendel, for example, or the monsters and kinds of creatures that you would find in Greek myths that were still somehow people and yet monsters at the same time. Medusa or the Minotaur, things like that. Yet Gollum is still very different. And we find out some other details about him that allow us to understand that he is more than just this monster. He lives on a rock, this little island in the middle of this lake. He's not a sea monster or a lake monster. He's not from the water. He just happens to live on a lake because that's where he can catch his food. But he lives outside of the water. He doesn't prefer to be in it. He's on a boat. He has an island with this little, I guess, home. It doesn't even say it here, but you would imagine he has some place that he lays down, something that he considers to be his dwelling. Then we get this other description as he watches Bilbo, that his pale eyes are like telescopes watching him and wondering what exactly this is, because he realizes that Bilbo is not a goblin. And it occurs to me, reading this right here, that it may have been hundreds of years since Gollum has seen any other sort of creature, any other intelligent being other than goblins. I mean, if you think about it, he probably hasn't had a conversation with anyone other than himself for 400 years. And Tolkien gives us reasons for why Gollum approaches Bilbo and why he strikes up a conversation. The initial justification is that he wasn't that hungry. But I have to think that there's something else going on here, too. He's curious. He gets on his boat, slides across the lake, and then comes up to Bilbo, and he says, and I'll save you my Gollum impression, but he says, "Bless us and splash us, my precious. I guess it's a choice feast. At least a tasty morsel it'd make us, Gollum." And of course, it explains to us here that Gollum is the sound he makes in his throat. And then we get this interesting explanation for my precious. It says, that is how he got his name, though. He always called himself my precious. Now, is that true? Or is this just accurate to the narrator's perspective, or the writer, if this is Bilbo, then Bilbo's perspective, in which Bilbo would have only had this very short opportunity to talk with him and would have noticed him using my precious and explained to us, the audience, that that's what he called himself, without ever really realizing that maybe there was something else going on, that maybe there was a different voice in Gollum's head that he was actually talking to. Bilbo wouldn't have known that. Bilbo didn't know anything about the ring, or Gollum, or Sauron. But I find it interesting here that he defines this character as having that name. Would he have known anyone else who had known him to know what anyone else calls him? So it's as if he defined the name for Gollum and then just determined that that's what anyone else would call him. You know, it's a little odd, right? So, of course, if a creature sneaks up to you in the dark and with that kind of voice says that sort of thing about potentially trying to eat you, you would have the same reaction. You would nearly jump out of your skin when this happens. And it's interesting to me, right? Like, why not just sneak up and throttle him? He can't see you. And then on top of that, why speak out loud about the thing that you're about to do to yourself loud enough for Bilbo to hear it? And I have to think that, like my point earlier, Gollum hasn't spoken to anybody else in years. He may not even remember anything about what is normal about conversation. In fact, he speaks to himself all the time. So to introduce himself by speaking to himself about his intentions with little care of the perspective of the potential victim in front of him kind of makes sense. It kind of feels right for the character, even though it is odd. And then Bilbo responds, of course, because he's used to talking to people. "Who are you?" he says. And he thrusts his dagger out in front of him, which makes sense. He's on the defensive. He's afraid of any goblins or anything coming up out of the darkness. And Gollum says, "What is he, my precious?" And then we get the explanation that, of course, he was used to speaking to himself. So he's not even speaking to Bilbo yet. He doesn't even say, "What are you?" He says, "What is he?" He's talking to himself as if Bilbo's still not even really there. And this is where we get the justification from the narrator that he wasn't really hungry at the moment. That's why he didn't simply attack him, just curious. Otherwise, he would have grabbed first and whispered afterwards, which also implies that he would have grabbed him first, maybe killed him, and then just continued talking to himself. Or maybe threatened him while having restrained him. But that would have played out very differently. So we get this. We get Bilbo responding, "I am Mr. Bilbo Baggins." And of course, he's very polite. He's a very polite, regular hobbit who does very regular hobbit types of things. "I have lost the dwarves and I have lost the wizard and I don't know where I am and I don't want to know, if only I can get away." Now, notice this is kind of a stream of consciousness, right? He's just kind of saying what he's saying. This feels to me a lot like what little kids do when they're in a situation when they get in trouble or they're scared and they just tell you everything, even the things that don't really seem to matter for the situation. It's just, this is everything that was on their mind at the moment and here it all is, blah, and they just dump it all out, right? And then Gollum responds, "What's he got in his hands is?" Again, he's still talking to himself. He's asking himself a question. He hasn't quite figured out to interact with Bilbo yet. And then Bilbo answers the question. He says, "A sword, a blade which came out of Gondolin." And Gollum hisses, "Sss," and became quite polite. Notice immediately when that happens, when Gollum is in danger and no longer feels like he has the upper hand, that's when Gollum changes. And he says, "Perhaps ye sits here and chats with it a bitsy, my precious. it likes riddles. Perhaps it does it? And notice he's starting to convert to talking to Bilbo very slightly. Also, he shortens perhaps into praps. It's as if for the first time in a very long time, he's remembering his manners. And then with his mind kind of forced all the way back into his memory about how to interact with other people, it also comes upon a game that he used to play, riddles. It says riddles were all he could think of. Asking them and sometimes guessing them had been the only game he had ever played with other funny creatures sitting in their holes in the long, long ago, before he lost all his friends and was driven away alone and crept down, down into the dark under the mountains. Now, I would imagine that he played other games as well, but the fact that this is described as the only one that he played long ago, it's him reaching into his memory about, like, what do I do? How do I even interact with other people? And notice, he falls on this idea of playing a game. I think this implies something as well, the fact that he probably wasn't very old when he found the ring. So Bilbo says, very well, I'm sure he's very surprised by this offer, but he's kind of scrambling here, doing his best. And then he says, you ask first. And this is justified as giving him time to think. And so Gollum dishes out the first riddle. Now pay very close attention to a few things as we go through these riddles. First of all, what riddle is said when? And secondly, the themes of each individual's riddles. They're specific, and they match the characters and the characters' responses. It actually plays out very interestingly. So the first riddle says, what has roots as nobody sees, is taller than trees, up, up it goes, and yet never grows. And Bilbo gets this one easily. A mountain, I suppose, he says. And then Gollum responds, does it guess easy? Notice he's still kind of talking to himself. It must have a competition with us, my precious. If precious asks and I don't answer, we eats it, my precious. If it asks us and we doesn't answer, then we does what it wants, eh? We shows it the way out, yes? Now notice, he jumps to the conclusion about what Bilbo wants. And now Bilbo has kind of defined that for himself. He kind of spilled the beans of what was in his brain earlier. But this is very different in the second edition and later than it was in the first edition before The Lord of the Rings came out. In that first edition, Gollum would give Bilbo a gift, and that would be the ring. But it was very different later on because the ring changed. It became more sinister, and Gollum also became more sinister. And we're going to get more into Gollum's background and all of that in the bonus episode this week. So definitely tune into that if you're interested in joining on the Patreon. But let's keep going. All right, Bilbo says, not daring to disagree and nearly bursting his brain to think of riddles that could save him from being eaten. And time again, as we go through here, we're reminded that Bilbo is kind of on the back foot. He's scrambling. His mind is racing. He's under a lot of stress. He's afraid. And remember, he's never really been in a conflict like this before.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His life is on the line, and yet he has to be clever at the same time. And for the most part, he is. He responds with this riddle. 30 white horses on a red hill. First they champ, then they stamp, then they stand still. Now, this is interesting because the author treats this like something that we all would recognize. And maybe some of these riddles were common in Tolkien's time among his peers or the kinds of things that you would read to children, I don't really know. But Gollum responds and says, chestnuts, chestnuts, he hissed, which at first reading, you might think he's guessing chestnuts, and then he switches to teeth, teeth, my precious, but we has only six, which is interesting too, because he's noting how many teeth he has. He only has six teeth left. And we wouldn't necessarily know that he had more, but we do now, right? But chestnuts is an old British idiom this or that old chestnut refers to a joke or story or idea that's been repeated so often that it's no longer interesting. And somehow, Gollum has this phrase in his mind. Now, notice these first two riddles. The first riddle is about a mountain, which they are currently inside of. The second riddle is about teeth, because Bilbo's afraid of Gollum eating him, so he thought of teeth. These two things make sense. But also, a mountain is not alive. It is simply rock and earth. Teeth are from a living being. So you have something not alive with something alive. The pattern continues. Gollum gives his second riddle. Voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters. Now, Bilbo is again having a hard time thinking. We're reminded it's because he's uncomfortable about being eaten potentially. And then he figures it out. Wind, of course. Now, again, we have something that is kind of foundational and part of nature, but not alive. Wind is not alive. It's also something that Gollum hasn't felt for a long time. You can tell his mind is being forced in a direction where it normally doesn't think. So Bilbo responds with his own puzzle. He says, "An eye in a blue face saw an eye in a green face. That eye is like to this eye," said the first eye, "but in low place, not in high place." And Gollum hisses for a while, and he's having a hard time, and he's thinking back in his mind about things that he hasn't thought about for a long time. And then it finally comes to him, "Sun on the daisies." And this time, Bilbo mentions something that's alive, flowers, but also the sun, the source of so much of that life, but also of light, of positivity. And as we understand in the Silmarillion, the sun and the moon were created by the Valar. And this should make us think of the light of the trees and the goodness that comes from the lights of the world that were brought into existence. And we're in such a dark, dark place. And this makes Gollum stressed. This idea of having to think back to these happy old thoughts before his life was so terrible is tiring for him. And then he responds, and before that, we also get the reminder that now he's getting more hungry, which means that he's more likely to attack Bilbo, and Bilbo can kind of sense this. Gollum says, "It cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills, and empty holes it fills. It comes first and follows after, ends life, kills laughter." Now, of course, Gollum responds with a riddle that is both not about something that is alive, but is also the antithesis of the thing that Bilbo made him think of. The opposite of the source of light is darkness. So Bilbo decides to change it up, and he comes up with this riddle. "A box without hinges, key, or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid." He takes it back to something very, very simple. And Gollum has a hard time remembering this. Now, the answer is an egg, but Gollum can't come to that answer until he gets to this memory of teaching his grandmother how to open an egg and eat the yolk out of the egg. But what's so interesting about this is that Bilbo brings this riddle about something very alive, the origins of a life, the egg that births a new creature. And Gollum thinks about eating it, devouring it, destroying it. And that's how he solves the riddle. Then he says, "Alive without breath, as cold as death, never thirsty, ever drinking, all in mail, never clinking." Now, this is the first time that Gollum gives us a riddle about something alive. But even when he talks about something alive, he does so in a very dark manner. The answer is a fish. A fish is alive without breathing, at least not in the way that we do, breathing the air, and they breathe water, as cold as death. The lake was already considered deadly cold, so those fish are just as cold as the lake, cold as death. Never thirsty, ever drinking, because they're constantly in the water. All in mail, never clinking. Scale mail is a type of armor that was made, and scales are on fish. So it makes sense that it's fish. And Bilbo has a hard time coming up with this one because this description of fish is done in such a negative way that it feels very different to him. In fact, we're told here, after a while, Gollum began to hiss with pleasure to himself. Is it nice, my precious? Is it juicy? Is it scrumptiously crunchable? And this might be one of the reasons why we like Gollum, because he does say things that are kind of cute and funny at times, even though he's definitely sinister. Also, in the previous paragraph, it says, I imagine you know the answer, of course, or can guess it as easy as winking, since you are sitting comfortably at home and have not the danger of being eaten to disturb your thinking. Now, this rhymes and is done in a way where it's supposed to be comedic, and I think it's also supposed to be fun for the listener, or especially kids, because if somebody had figured this out, it kind of pats them on the back, but it says, but remember, like, Bilbo was under a lot more stress. So it's reminding us of that. But then we get to this part where, you know, Gollum is kind of egging him on a little bit, and he begins to peer at Bilbo out of the darkness, and he begins to get closer. And of course, Bilbo is justifying that, hey, I gave you a long time on the last one. Give me a chance on this one. And then Gollum climbs out of the boat through the water up onto the shore, and it says, but when he put his long webby foot in the water, a fish jumped out in a fright and fell on Bilbo's toes. And that's how Bilbo came up with the answer. If Gollum had not approached Bilbo ready to eat him, he would not have given away the answer. This happens in the first meeting of Bilbo and Gollum. Gollum's actions sabotage his intentions right at the first time. Does this remind you of anything else? I mean, we know, because we've gone through a lot of the work already, that evil always self-sabotages, but it also is very specific to Gollum. At the end of Gollum's story, he also sabotages himself through the selfishness of his actions. So at this point, Bilbo is absolutely afraid for his life. He realizes that maybe the boundaries of the rules are a little bit able to be pushed here, and he just throws out the next riddle. No legs lay on one leg. Two legs sat near on three legs. Four legs got some. This one always hits me as a little bit odd. It might be the phrasing. There's something that's just opaque about this, but the answer makes sense. And Gollum gets it fairly quickly. He says, fish on a little table, man at table sitting on a stool, the cat has the bones. And each of those things, if you think about them in order, have so many legs, and it all kind of adds up. But you can clearly see here why this was not the right time for the riddle, because they had just talked about a fish. And so if your mind is already on fish, you might connect that to a fish has no legs. So maybe that's the first thing, and then figure out the rest. So maybe not the best thing for Bilbo to do there, but he's panicking. Then Gollum follows up with this. This thing all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Gnaws iron, bites steel. Grinds hard stone to meal. Slays kings, ruins towns, and beats high mountain down. This is, again, a very dark, sinister interpretation of the answer. And Bilbo gets it. He says, give me more time. And then he realizes, oh, it's time. Time does all of these things. And again, Gollum is talking about something not alive, and something, in the way that he talks about it, presented in a very dark manner. And by this point, Gollum is even hungrier and makes his way right up next to Bilbo. And he sits down in the dark next to him. And then he says, it's got to ask us a question, my precious. Yes, yes, yes. Just one more question to guess. Yes, yes. And then Bilbo runs out of riddles.
Nasty Hobbitses, thank you for tuning in.
I could do the whole episode in a Gollum voice, but that would be really bad. but thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you guys are tuning in, and welcome to our newest patrons, Jay Willie, Nico, Michael M, Lee P, Simone R, and Sophia. Thank you for joining and signing up. And oh, by the way, I don't know if any of you got signed up as gifts, because now you can gift stuff on Patreon. But if you are a gift receiver, then welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you're enjoying everything that you're getting here. And thank you for all the support. Also, I have to shout out our VIP patrons. By the way, patreon.com/LOTRLorecast if you're looking for that. But here, let's go down the list. Let's see how fast I can do this. AK Music Lover, Apollo, Atlee Morton, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Brandy D, Christopher E, Courtney S, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Fulcrum, George B, Gerald CFC, Gimli A Break, Jay Willie, Gemma D, Jezzer, Katie S, Capenna, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Richard J, Rivqua, Rosie Rose, Saruman the Stinky, TJT, and Tour Son of Hoor. Wow, we got through the whole thing. Thank you for being here. And as you noticed, this is now at the end of the episode. I thought it would be better. And also, we got a new review that came in. This is from the name's Ron Sauron from Australia. This one's great. It says, Morgoth and Sauron approve. Hi, my name is Ron. I've recently had to find a new hobby. I used to create jewelry in my spare time and loved giving them out to different people. Definitely not to rule over them or anything. Anyway, my most precious gift of jewelry, this ring, was stolen by this dude, Isolde, and then it went missing. So without my ring, I got bored, so I needed a new hobby. So I came across this podcast, and wow, I have forsaken everything else. My hunt for the ring, my desire for domination over Earth, even my 9 best friends, who are kind of clingy and annoying, to listen to this podcast. I know my old boss, Mel, would also enjoy this podcast. I wonder if he has access to Spotify in the void. Keep it up, Tom O'Robots. Thank you so much, Ron. I appreciate that. Also, it is a little terrifying to think that Sauron would be listening to this show, because I have a feeling he has I've said some bad things about him. He might be angry at me. But, you know, thanks for the 5-star review. Super nice. And I love the creativity. So thank you for doing that. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. I'll be back next week. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday. I guess this will come out after Thanksgiving, but I hope you had a wonderful holiday. And until then, I'll see you next week, where we get to talk about that final riddle and then what happens next. Can't wait. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.